Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. It is quarter number three of our show. And Dustin, we spent the first two segments focusing on the defense, specifically the performance from Friday night at the open practice or scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. Now let's make that conversion over to the offensive side of the ball. And let's start with the marquee position. Let's start at quarterback. And let's start with this. The week prior, a couple interceptions. We didn't have that from our top guys with Sean Clifford and the backups. They seem to do a little bit better, at least on not making the mistakes. Let's start with Sean Clifford. What are we hearing about him coming out of this scrimmage?
Well, I think just the gist of it with him and the quarterbacks in general, there just seemed to be a little bit more crispness when it came to executing the new concepts of the offense, where I think the previous week was a little early to try to put them through those steps in front of people. And I don't think people came away with a very positive portrayal of the quarterbacks or the offense in general, where that seemed to have shifted. Again, I wasn't there, so you're just trying to read reports and see whatever video highlights you can that Penn State puts out. But there did seem to be a little bit more comfort from the quarterbacks within the offense, and that includes Sean Clifford. You see him, and you know, I think there's only so much left for him to prove in a practice type setting. You know, you need to see this from Sean Clifford in a game. You need to see him take a step forward in a game setting. There's nobody to challenge him for the starting job this year. If that was unclear going into the spring, if that was unclear going into the two open practices, it became more clear at those points. Taquan Roberson, I don't think he's ready, and it's no fault of his. He's not ready to be a number one quarterback, and I'm not sure he's ready at this point in time to be a number two quarterback, but these are the circumstances that he finds himself in. I think you can see the upside with him when things are kind of on script and his footwork, it's direct, maybe a fake and a quick slant. He seems to be doing a nice job with that, and that's what his high school film kind of showed, too, is that he was comfortable in those situations. Now, can he drop back and deliver a deep ball? Can he make the reads? Is he ready for that stuff? Those are the types of things that he needs he needs to make progress with. And there's, you know, experience can take him a long way. He just didn't get any experience last year when it seemed like Penn State might have been able to make that happen a little bit better. That's my opinion on it.
Let's talk about Roberson a bit, because the thing is, one injury, one twisted ankle, and all of a sudden, forget him being the good backup, he would need to be the good starter. And it doesn't appear that he has made that leap. And Dustin, when you say he's not ready, it's kind of the connotation is, oh, he hasn't been there long enough. Well, this is his third year in the program. And we're seeing at other schools, development of these high school quarterbacks is so good anymore, you're beginning to expect the kid to be almost ready that first year, and by the second year, he's a seasoned veteran. But it doesn't appear that we're seeing that with Roberson yet.
Yeah, I mean, you do have quarterbacks who are running more sophisticated offenses, and physically, you know, they're going through all these camps. They're working with technicians pretty much year round. You do see more and more quarterbacks who are more prepared to play early in their college careers. But you do have plenty of quarterbacks who still have a lot of merit out there who, you know, aren't year one or year two guys. And I think Taquan Roberson was never going to be a year one or a year two guy. Now the question is, now you have a little bit of urgency for him to kind of prepare like he's a starter. You know, that's the position that he's in now. There's no safety net. You are the guy if anything were to happen. And so now he gets a chance to go through spring practice, and he'll get a chance to go through training camp with that new role in mind. And I think the hope for everybody, certainly for James Franklin, is that he can respond to that urgency. He can respond and play up to where Penn State needs him to be. Obviously, there's still a lot of questions about whether he would be capable of doing it. If Sean Clifford were to go down with an injury, or if Sean Clifford were to struggle the same way that he struggled at the start of last year, and you consider entertaining a change, is Taquan Roberson really worth entertaining in the same situation that Will Levis was last year? That's hard to see as we sit here right now. So I think Taquan Roberson, he is capable of doing some nice things. But now it just comes down to how are you responding to these reps, and how are you responding to the fact that you're in position right now to be a really crucial member of this team where he hadn't been in the past. So what he does with this now, James Franklin talked about this after Friday night's practice. Quarterbacks and wide receivers, they're able to continue working on timing. They're able to do 7-on-7 stuff. They're able to work together when they're not allowed to have organized team activities and make improvements as they go. So now it's on each individual quarterback to take advantage and try to make the most of the time they have between now and training camp. Taquan Roberson's high on that list.
This is now multiple times that James Franklin has brought that up, and it was interesting a couple weeks ago. He said, in the spring, we got to focus more on getting the running game coordinated because it's harder to develop that during the summer, where the quarterbacks and receivers can work on that on their own during the summer. We've often brought up the do or die timing for some of the players. Do you get the sense for Roberson this is his do or die season? He either steps up this year or he's going to get passed up by either Christian Vaiu or the two highly regarded incoming freshmen, Drew Aller and Bo Perbola, come the 2022 season.
That's a great point with him. And I do think this is pretty much the situation. This is his stage right now to prove that he could be a viable option at this position beyond the 2021 season. He has to first prove that he's ready to be a backup, that if his number is called, he's ready to enter the game, that he's mentally prepared himself. And I don't think it's any coincidence that James Franklin has put that message out there with the quarterbacks. Like, we can take you so far, but now it's on you. Are you going to do the extra work? Are you going to sort of lead the offense in doing that? Or are you just going to kind of go through the motions between now and July? And I think the messaging has been clear. Like, the quarterbacks, there's a lot of work to be done here, both from your development, that perspective, and from the idea of growing into Mike Yurcich's offense. It's on you now to work on that timing, to pitch and catch. And it is true, you know, the run game requires so much coordination from the linemen and from, you know, the backs and the quarterbacks. It's hard to get that done in a setting where you don't have a formal team practice. But when it comes to running routes and working on the timing and doing 7-on-7 and getting some chemistry going between quarterback and wide receiver, they're absolutely able to work on that and move that forward. And I think it's important for Taquan Roberson to show that initiative, to improve when the coaches aren't around, and to prove that he is ready for the number two job, because you can't be ready for the number one job without being ready for the number two job first.
Let's circle back to Sean Clifford. Obvious, he's the guy who's going to get every opportunity. Nobody's here to push him, at least not yet. There may still be a transfer, but it's Sean Clifford's team. Dustin, I'm not sure there's anything he could do during the spring that could make us say he's taken that step. You know, he's done it. And it's interesting to me, if you look back at last year and the kind of season he had, how would you classify those mistakes that he made? Can they be improved? Can they be fixed? What were those mistakes that can a new offensive coordinator fix what you saw as wrong?
So I think there are mistakes and there are issues that can be cleaned up as a quarterback that are teachable and coachable and that come with experience. And I think there are some things as a quarterback, whether you want to call it it factor or whatever you want to call it, you know, just having the feel and the instincts and the mindset and the temperament to do that job. And I think there are some things that Sean Clifford has shown both last year and the year before that fall under that teachable and coachable and can improve with experience. And I think some of the stuff that was happening last year really felt like, and there are fair questions about whether those are fixable things, whether you can feel a defense bearing down on you and think clearly and make a good decision. If there are guys in your face, maintaining your composure and keeping your eyes down the field, you know, there are some things that when the feathers are flying, you know, going through practice and working on your footwork and understanding the timing of routes and all that stuff, it kind of goes out the window if you're not able to kind of maintain your composure. And that's something that Sean Clifford needs to improve on, in my opinion, in a big way between year two and year three as a starter. I don't think it doesn't matter how well he throws and how well he can move and how well he understands the route concepts in the offense if he can't improve when it comes to, you know, when the whistle blows and there's pressure and there's blitzing and plays are breaking down. You know, you saw some bumbling type mistakes last year that he needs to clean up, and he needs to be able to work on processing things with a clearer head, I think.
Do you remember in 2019, we often looked at the way he threw the ball out of the gate? It was as if he's too pumped up. There's too much adrenaline. He'd overthrow people. Unforced errors were happening, and it seemed like he was just too jacked up for the game. Is that something that it may have manifested itself a little bit differently last year, but that was part of the issue? And maybe just having the experience now as a third-year starter that he'll take a breath, he'll settle down, he'll know at the start of the game he won't be so jacked up, that he will just settle into it. Is that something you can get from year two to three?
I think that particular thing, knowing how to pace yourself and prepare yourself and knowing how to, you know, he's a competitive, amped up, revved up kid. That's his journey, is being able to harness that and reel that in and be able to start the game with a little bit more composure and being able to use that positive quality about himself to his advantage and not be so revved up that he's making physical mistakes on the field. That's something I do believe can improve with experience. You know, he can go into next year understanding, like, I am revved up. I have to be able to kind of, from warm-ups all the way to the first snap, I have to be able to kind of use that and keep an even keel about this. Feel revved up, but force yourself to slow things down a little bit. I think that's going to, that helps. If Clifford carries that mindset into the first drive of the game and doesn't have those early game jitters, it can certainly set a better tone for him for a full 60 minutes.
Will we see a transfer quarterback, Dustin?
I think yes. I don't think you're seeing anybody who's going to factor into that number one race. I don't even know if you'll see somebody who factors into that number two race. But another competitor at that position I think is huge.
I think they would like to get a guy ideally who can challenge for number two and maybe has seen the field in another program, so has that kind of experience. That is going to be it for quarter number three, Dustin. In quarter number four, we're going to take a look at the rest of the offense, so stay tuned.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hockensmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.